She's real fine, my 409. She's real fine, my 409, my 409.
It's time once again for Hawaii's premier automotive repair and maintenance call-in radio show, Automotive 101 with George Nita. If you have a question for George, call the Hawaiian Automotive 101 hotline at 296-5467. If you'd like to email your question to George or just listen to the show live on your computer, log on to our website at georgenitta.com. Now, here he is, the host of Hawaiian Automotive 101, former race car driver, master automotive technician, and famous for being the mothball mechanic, Mr. George Nita.
Okay, we're rolling along, and this Saturday we have special guests, Duke Iona.
Aloha.
And Wayne Roden.
Hello, George. Thank you for having us.
Oh, no. Thank you for making some time for us. We just wanted to bring Duke in because of the three candidates running for governor. We looked at it, and Duke Iona is the only one that I think and I know that we can work with. The other two are, I don't think so. So, keep your questions short and clean. Okay? And be positive. Hawaii is in a very, very delicate financial state, although that a lot of people don't realize it, but a few Saturdays ago, we had one politician call in. I forgot his name, and my regular listeners remember that show, where he asked that I've been cutting them down as not bringing in money into the state. So what was my idea of how to make money? So I told him, I'm glad you asked that. And I could hear his thinking, oh, no. Okay? And you think about it. It's easy to raise taxes. Even a homeless can do that. You don't need any skill. You don't need education. But to make money for the people, now, you need the talent. And we can work with Duke, and we'll show you that he will make the money for the people. Money like you wouldn't believe. Okay? So, if you want to give us a call, you can give us a call. The number is 808-296-5467. 808-296-5467. So, I know a lot of people out there have called me and told me, no, we don't like Duke because he was a lingo and all that. You know, hey, forget that. This is a new run, a new race, and whether it's Republican, Democrat, whatever, it's the person. If the person is an SOB and Democrat, are you going to vote for? Come on. It's common sense. Use common sense, because we really need it. Well, Hawaii really needs it, especially now. Go look around. You don't need a scientist to show you that there's so many vacancies, so many shops and businesses falling up like flies. It should be opening up. Well, one of the things I told Wayne before we went on the air was, what is a city like Honolulu with no racetrack? Mm-hmm. So I told Wayne, it's like a city with no toilet.
Oh, that's bad.
Sorry.
That's kind of gross, but think of it. Oahu, the most population, but no racetrack. Mm-hmm. Kauai, Maui, Big Island, small population, but they have a racetrack. Mm-hmm. So we don't have a toilet? What about the plumbers? They have no job.
Mm-hmm.
So, anyway, just giving you clean ideas.
Good analogy.
It's a good analogy. Yeah, very good.
Okay.
So I'm glad Wayne cleans toilets, so he knows how to do that.
And I'm not ashamed of it. As a matter of fact, ourselves and our crew was in downtown working, cleaning toilets.
Okay, I see we got some calls coming in already. Who do we have? Our phone screener is Noreen.
We have Woody from Kona with a question for Duke.
Okay.
Hi, Woody.
Hello?
Hello.
Yes, Mr. Iona. I wondered what your stance on GMOs is going to be, because it's going to be pretty important for a lot of people.
You know, that's a you're right. That's a hot issue. It's a hot issue on the in the county level. You know, Kauai, Maui, and Hawaii Island, of course. And my understanding on Hawaii Island is that you passed an ordinance in December, which basically has restricted the any product with GMO. You've grandfathered some in there, and you know, my initial position on GMOs was to leave it to the counties, to leave it to home rule, because you know it's germane to your community, to your farmers, etc. Let me just put it out front that I support all forms of farming, and even though I may have that position in regards to you know who should basically address that issue of GMOs, I know that there's been a ruling in Kauai. Which has put a stop or has ruled basically that the ordinance that they had in Kauai was unconstitutional. I know that there is litigation right now on Hawaii County. I believe the hearing on that is going to be heard very shortly, within a week or so. So I would assume that the ruling would be consistent, and as such it would say that it's unconstitutional to have an ordinance on the local level. So accordingly, if that's the ruling, and it is a state issue and it's a state jurisdiction, this is where I stand right now. Up to this point, in regards to what I have read and what I've heard through discussion, I believe that it is not warranted to have a total ban on GMO products, as I don't see it amounting to a level that would warrant that ban, and as such become a public health and or wellness issue to the residents as a whole. So that's my position on the GMO issue.
Okay.
Thank you very much, sir. I appreciate it, and good luck. I'm voting for you.
Thank you, Woody.
Okay,
who's next?
Okay, you have Ing from Aina Haina with a question for Duke.
Hi, you're on there.
That's Redeem from Aina Haina from Duke or Duke.
Aloha, how are you?
Hey, hi, Duke.
Yes.
You know, I have a question for you. What your take would be on possibly reinstating the weights and measures person whose position was eliminated during the Lingle administration?
This is in the Ag Department, right?
Yeah.
You know, I've asked a question once in regards to you know some of the things that I may have agreed and disagreed with Governor Lingle, and I have the utmost respect for Governor Lingle. I think many times people forget that you know Governor Lingle went through one of the most difficult periods that we've ever faced in the state. In fact, I don't know of any other governor who faced the same type of economic challenges that she faced, and so as such, she had to make some very tough decisions. Now, I'm not here to defend her or to promote her in any way, but I will tell you the decisions she made in that second term, which you're referring to, were very difficult. If there was one thing that I would say that I may have I wouldn't say disagree, but may have taken a different tack in regards to when we had to reduce the workforce, it would have been in the Department of Ag's. I think was maybe cut a little bit too much. And as such, I think that's one position, the one you're mentioning right now, that may have been vital to the ag department and everything that you know that position does. So I don't know why it hasn't been reinstated. If it hasn't been reinstated up until this point in time, you know, you've had 4 years of a new administration, and I know this for a fact. They raised taxes by over $800 million in the last 4 years. They increased government spending by $1.2 billion. And if that position is that important, and if it's that vital, I don't know why they couldn't find the funding to reinstate that position. So, you know, I have ears and I listen. And obviously, if that's a position that is vital to the Department of Ag and to the people of Hawaii, that's something that obviously should be reinstated. And should have been reinstated, like I said, within the last 4 years.
Well, reason being is that, I don't know if you are aware of this, our gasoline situation is very bad. I mean, what happens is that the octane levels are not what the pump reads. Like, you know, all these stations that you go to,
right,
it has a label 92.
Right.
It's not 92. I mean, the 92 at best right now is only 85. I don't even want to know what the 87 and 89 is.
Are you in the industry? I'm sorry to interrupt. Are you in the industry?
Oh, no, I'm not in the industry. You know, I'm just, you know, like, you know, every time I fill up gas, I want to make sure I'm getting at least 87 octane because my car will not be pinged to the max.
Okay.
If it will,
and that's what that position would monitor.
Right. They'll
yeah.
wait to make it. They'll go
got
and
it.
Testing the fuel and the quality of the fuel.
Got it.
Octane level, so.
Right. And so here we are. We're not getting fuel efficiency.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. There you go.
Okay. Got it.
Okay. Thanks, Dean. Okay. Who's next?
We have JP from Kaimuki with a question for Duke.
JP.
Hey, how's it, Duke?
That's my grandson's name, by the way, JP.
I was wondering, because I'm a local farmer, and I know your family homeless for that, so I was wondering what you guys are going to do about how to deal with that.
Would you be open to a program where the local farmers, a local farmer such as you, could use them as workers?
Oh, yeah, guaranteed.
Okay. I think that's something we can look into. You know, we always want to be innovative and as creative as we can and to you know, get the community as involved as we can. So I would definitely try to reach out to people like you and see if we can start programs like that. I know there's other farmers out there who have a program wherein they not only use some homeless people as workers, but they also house them. And that would be a great model to expand upon.
That's a good idea.
And I would definitely be in favor of that. And see, that's what I want to do. I want to be more hands-on in regards to this homeless issue. That's just one of the things. I do have a plan, by the way. If you go to my website at dukeiona.com, you'll see it. It's real simple. I'll go over it. It's one, the establishment of what I call a mobile homeless court. Everybody's complaining about, you know, criminalizing the homeless. This is an opportunity for the homeless to have a chance to turn their lives around through services provided by the judiciary, the judicial system. The second is to get the National Guard involved as outreach workers in what we call a peer-to-peer mentoring program, because over 10% of our vets, and in fact, I just saw some numbers on the neighbor islands, it's even more. That's where the disproportionate amount of vets are on the neighbor islands, to get them into the programs that we have available. We have a service provider here called U.S. Vets that has the facilities to house as well as to provide services. And they have a lot of capacity. They just need to get the vets into the program. And then I think anecdotally, like you and me, and I think a lot of us in this room right here in this studio, We've heard from people who say, you know, there's other states that are giving homeless people a one-way ticket to come to Hawaii because the benefits are easy to get. Look at it. It's beautiful. 365 days of the year. They can stay on the beach or wherever they want to stay. And they're actually paying for them to come here. And that's not right. That's not right. So what I'm going to do when I get elected is I'm going to let all my colleagues know, all the other governors know, that if we find out that that's happening, we're going to buy a one-way ticket for that person and go back to the state that they came from. And I'm going to make sure that we collect on the cost of what that ticket was from that governor. So, you know, it's still compassionate. It's not a thing that is incompassionate and not compassionate, but, you know, it's something that's fair because that person is being taken away from their home state, their support system, and everything else that, you know, they're basically, you know,
part
of.
Their family.
Yeah, and their families. And so, obviously, you know, what's fair is fair. And then lastly, there's, you know, I call these closing the gates, being more preventive and proactive. And, you know, there's certain gates I believe that they come from. A lot of the homeless come from because we just don't take care of it up front. And it's the judiciary, that's one, and this is where homeless court would come into existence. It's the prisons, and that's different now from the judiciary. You got to remember that. That's a different agency, different department, different, you know, client that you're dealing with. And last but not least, you know, it's the military. They really don't do a good job of it, and they should do more. So in any event, those are the three gates that I would look at initially, but something like yours, that just complements and supplements what we're all trying to do. And so thank you for, you know, being a part of that and being willing to take that on.
Okay, thanks for your call. Okay, it's break time.
We're going to take a break. You're listening to Hawaiian Automotive 101 with George Nita and special guests Duke Iona and Wayne Roden. She's real fine, my 409, my 409.
Well, I saved my pennies and I saved my dimes. Giddy up, giddy up. Are you looking for a new car or a used car? I would recommend calling Maui Toyota. Everything can be done on the phone, folks. And they're the only independent Toyota dealership in the state of Hawaii. So you get better prices. You can call them direct at 537-4447. That's 537-4447. And everything is done on the phone. So you don't have to go there. You just call them and they set it all up. Talk to DJ or Damien Sr., either one. I highly recommend them. Give them a try. The best dealer in the state for Toyotas. 537-4447. Remember now, talk to DJ or Damien Sr.
You have to be doing something right if you've been in business for over 30 years. Auto Tech Service Center is in town, right off Dillingham Boulevard. If you have dents, need body work, and don't know where to go, call Auto Tech Service Center now at 841-5851. That's 841-5851. Auto Tech Service Center, 841-5851.
She's real fine, my 409. Okay, we're back rolling again, and how's Rolling Bob? No Rolling Bob? Oh, Rolling Bob went rolling down the road. Okay.
Okay, you have Ski from Hawaii Kai.
Hi, Ski.
Hello, George.
Aloha.
I didn't understand. And
Aloha.
Just wanted to mention about that weights and measurements. I was talking to Senator Sloan, and he brought it to my attention. I was wondering why the department, as far as I'm concerned, had been done away with. They, because they are responsible for all the weights, the supermarkets, anything that has any scales or whatever. It, you would think it would be quite large. And frankly, with the service station, the meters on that, we find that there are a lot of errors and on many occasions. And like the previous caller mentioned about the octane in this state. It's ridiculously low.
Okay, so your understanding is that that position or that, I guess you could say, division has been eliminated?
Well, that's what it sounds like. I can't see where it would be in the agricultural, considering, you know, all the responsibilities.
Or it might have been transferred maybe to the Department of Health?
Pardon me?
Department of
maybe,
Health.
Maybe we just got to look into it and see.
Yeah, I'll look into that.
Yeah. Okay.
Hey, would appreciate it.
Thank you.
Okay, George. Take
Thank
care.
You.
Okay. Aloha.
Aloha. Okay, who's next?
Okay, next on the line you have Dee Dee from Honolulu.
Hi, Dee Dee.
Hi, Duke.
Hi.
Thank you for taking my call. I have become increasingly concerned about the militarization of police that's happening across the country. And recently, with our own police force, where within a week, two people were killed. And then we have a video of a police sergeant slamming his girlfriend across a restaurant. And then the question comes up, you know, whether there's going to be any penalty involved. Or because I think it's a little scary to me. You know, Chinese 73 and watching this, and I look at police. It used to be the idea of police as protect and serve. So I just hold them to a higher standard. And if a police sergeant cannot control himself and he's getting into a huge fist fight with his girlfriend in a restaurant, for me personally, I just can't see keeping someone who cannot control himself in this way on the
Did we lose her?
What happened? Oh, we lost her.
Okay. Well, you know, just
but that's a city, yeah.
Yeah, it's you know, well, you know, we have all county police, we have a sheriff's department.
Mm-hmm.
You know, as a prosecutor and as a former judge, I have the utmost respect and honor for our police department. I understand your concern. I too, you know, was part of the public who has been looking at that film over and over and over again. And, you know, I guess that's why we have our judicial system is such that you're innocent until proven guilty, and you have a process. But I think we all have that same concern that you have, and I'm hoping that it's going to be addressed. I have confidence in Chief Kealoha and his staff, and I believe it will be dealt with accordingly. So let's keep our faith in our police department. I think we got good, fine men and women in our department.
Yes, we do, but... You know, Duke, my stand on that is no man is supposed to strike a woman. Period. If, buts, or what.
Mm-hmm.
No. No. Woman can hit the guy. It's just a little fly. Come on. You don't go beat up a woman. No.
I think, George, you and I come from a different era. We you and I believe the same way. My boys are trained and bred that way. They understand
don't
that.
Hit women.
They understand that. Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. But we do have laws. We have a little cultural change. I mean, my understanding was this woman was an MMA fighter. Now, not that that makes any difference at all. Not that that makes any difference at all. But, you know, hearing what was said that it was just a casual encounter, a friendly encounter.
No.
I don't know. I might differ a little bit with that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. Who's next?
We have Henry from Foster Village.
Hi, Henry. Henry?
Hello. Hello. Hey, George. I got to say, this is one of your best shows. Your subject matter seems to be great. And I
Mahalo.
Think your phone is going to light up. Thank you for bringing this on, yeah. But what I would like to say is to Mr. Iona, yeah, is that I'm fully aware that during the Lingle administration, he doesn't hold all the responsibility for what happened. And then secondly, I don't think Linda Lingle did so badly. She did what she had to do at the time. But my big point now, yeah, is I'm sure Duke has all the good intentions, but I think he's a little naive. We all know Hawaii is really a democratic state, and that's not bad for a local state to be that way. But nationally, the Democrats really suck. I mean, look at what we're into with all this Obamacare and all the things we're doing. But my big problem, yeah, is the last time Duke ran, I was all for him. But he was invisible. And if he's not aware that this is a democratic state and he has to do more, the problem is he's like most of the Republicans. Their message is not out there. And there are hundreds of little groups with specialized interests, and it takes years to get around to all of them. I understand that. But I don't think Duke and all the Republicans put their message out there. And so they get run over by the Democrats. And I want to say again, we are a democratic state, very pro-democratic. And I think Duke's message is good, but he always fails to get it out there.
Well,
anyway,
Let me give you an example. I'm glad you talk about Democrats. Okay? Let's say I gave Wayne this example before the show. The Republicans have a whole 40-foot container full of gold to give you. And the Democrats have a small little briefcase with dollar bills. Who is the one that is going to take care of you?
Oh, I totally agree with you. I know your answer, and I have the same answer.
Yes,
but because
it's
not democratic.
It's
no
not the. It's not the party. It's the person. As I explained in the beginning of the show, it's the person.
I agree.
Okay? And we got to look at the person and not the party.
Yes, I totally agree. That's why I don't have a problem with Hawaii being a democratic state. I have a problem with individuals who fail to get their message out there.
Okay. That's why we're trying to get him out there.
Yeah. Thank you.
Okay.
Good program. I will hang up and listen, and I am enjoying it immensely.
Thank you.
Mahalo. Okay.
Lonnie from Hawaii Kai.
Hi, Lonnie.
Hi, George. How are you?
Okay.
Okay. My question to Duke Iona is in regards to rail. I heard on the news that the coordinator, I kind of forgot his name, of rail.
Grabowski.
He's going to receive about $250,000 a year, plus many more incentives of money. Would that be coming from us as the taxpayers? And are people aware of this?
Well, I hope they are. yes, it does come from your taxpayer money. Whether it's the federal money that we got a grant for,
right,
or the excise tax that everyone on Oahu is paying for right now. That's where all of the funding is coming from for the rail project right now. So this has been one of the issues that that I was deeply opposed to when the rail project was, was brought up and was developed and, you know, planned. The cost of it, we're going to be paying not only you and I, but our grandchildren and our children and our great-grandchildren. It's going to be with us until thy kingdom come. I hate to say it that way, but that's true because right now the GET tax that is imposed on the residents of Oahu is set to expire in 2021. However, they've made a push this past legislative session, and they will probably do it again next session to extend that in perpetuity, in other words, forever, because the fees that you're going to collect from the box, from the riders, when that comes online, and right now they're saying that that will come online probably in 2017, will not be nearly enough to pay for the costs and the operation and the maintenance of this system. So you hang on to your wallets. You're going to be paying this tax probably, like I said, not only us, but our children and grandchildren and great-grandchildren. And
right.
I would not be surprised if they're going to ask for an increase in either the GET tax and or your real property tax. So, you know, unfortunately, this is something that is with us right now. And, you know, it was hotly contested in the last mayor's race. It was hotly contested in some of these council races, as well as, I think, on an amendment that was put before, a referendum that was put before the voters a few years ago. Unfortunately, it's how you word the referendum. It's how you, spin the discussion on it. And so I think that aspect of the rail got lost from everyone. And now we're seeing it, though. We're seeing it.
So should I prepare my kids and my grandkids to get 2 to 3 jobs instead of going off to the mainland?
Yeah.
You know, trying to work for the federal government and somebody, and then trying to come here and make a living in Hawaii.
You know, and I hear you.
I'm thinking it's going to go up. It's going to be very expensive. I want to prepare my children now.
And I hear you, and that's why I'm running, because I want to make sure that in spite of rail, that I can help bring this cost of living down. I just released a program called HOPE. It's for it's for housing. The acronym is called Home Opportunity People's Equity. So in other words, let me just put it as quickly as I can in a nutshell. It's rent to equity. So the biggest problem that our young people have right now, middle income and below, is that they can't make a down payment on a home. A lot of them, you know, they have the income to pay for a mortgage. But now with the financial, you know, requirements you have, they can't put that 10% down. And that's usually $40,000 to $50,000. How are you going to save $40,000 to $50,000 with everything that we just talked about? So this program will allow you to rent, and the rent that you pay will be what we call equity, will be a savings that you get.
Perfect.
You get to make that down payment.
And perfect.
I got the developer with me right now. My partnership's going to be with Peter Savio. I told him, hey, can we get this going as soon as we get elected? He said, absolutely. I can look at some public housing programs that we have right now that I can transition into this this program. And, you know, I'm excited. This is something that will help our young people, will help. You know, I got four kids, 31 to 21, and I look at them. Two of them are staying with me. The other two are renting. And I say, okay, how am I going to help them? I don't have $40,000 to $50,000 times four to go help them put the down payment down. So, you know,
and
I had
to.
I got
to. Want our kids to move out.
Oh no, but then my grandkids not going to be around, and that can really hurt me. You know, so I'm with you, and so I'm going to do the best I can to be more innovative in that respect, bring down our cost of living. It's like eating an elephant to bring down our cost of living. It's one bite at a time, one bite at a time. So, you know, I want to look at things like, okay, why do we tax food and medicine? We're only one of seven states that do that. Why do we do that? What's the relevance for that? But we tax it.
I'm thinking because Hawaii needs the money.
Yes, well, it's true. It's true.
They
put it.
That's
right.
They put it into the general fund, and
Hawaii
needs
the money.
So just remember what I said, and this is what's got to hit home with the voters this time. In the last 4 years, I'm not even going back the last 20, 30 years. The last 4 years, right, your government spending has increased by $1.2 billion. $1.2 billion, and we supposedly are in, you know, coming out of a recession. How did that happen? Because of this system that we have right now, you know, in government, where that's their DNA. That's just how they run government. Like George said in the beginning, raising taxes. You don't have to raise taxes to get more revenue. How about we expand our economy? Yeah? We make it business friendly so more people want to come here and do business. And
that's
the only
right.
way they're going to want to do business is if they can trust their government officials
that's
that they're
right.
not going to tax the hell out of them
that's
and
right.
raise fees. And then they'll trust, and then they'll come, and then they'll invest, and then we'll grow our revenues that way. It's sort of like lowering the tax base, right? So we lower the tax base so we can get more people paying into it instead of raising it all the time, raising it all the time, raising it all the time, right? So
we need a quick solution ASAP.
And so we need new leaders. That's basically it.
And you're the one.
Thank you. Thank you. I'm excited. I really am. Thank you for your call.
Bob?
We got to go to a break.
Okay. You're listening to Hawaiian Automotive 101 with George Nita and special guests Duke Iona and Wayne Roden.
She's real fine, my 409. She's real fine, my 409, my 409.
If you're having trouble with your car, truck, or SUV and don't know who to trust, call George Nita or his son Todd at Nita's Auto Repair. Whether you need a simple tune-up and oil change, new brakes, or a complete engine or transmission rebuild, Nita's Auto Repair offers fast, reliable, and honest service. And Nita's also specializes in automotive air conditioning service. Nita's Auto Repair is experienced in all makes and models, both foreign and domestic. In business since 1965, Nita's Auto Repair is conveniently located in town at 1316 Kaumualii Street. Get it fixed right the first time. Call Nita's Auto Repair at 847-5554. That's 847-5554.
I went to a party, and I remembered what you said. You told me not to drink, Mom, so I had a Sprite instead. I felt proud of myself, the way you said I should. I didn't drink and drive, though some friends said I should. I made a healthy choice, and your advice to me was right. As the party finally ended, and the kids drove out of sight, I got into my car, sure to get home in one piece. I never knew what was coming, Mom, something I expected least. Now I'm lying on the pavement, and I hear the policeman say, that kid that caused this wreck was drunk. Mom, his voice seems so far away. My own blood's all around me as I try hard not to cry. I can hear the paramedics say, this girl's gonna die. I'm sure that guy had no idea while he was flying high, because he chose to drink and drive. Now I would have to die. So why do people do it, Mom? knowing that it ruins life, and the pain is cutting me like 100 stabbing knives. Tell my sister don't be afraid, Mom. Tell my daddy to be brave. And when I go to heaven, put daddy's girl on my grave. Someone should have taught him that it's wrong to drink and drive. Maybe if his parents did, I'll still be alive. My breath is getting shorter, Mom. I'm getting really scared. These are my final moments, and I'm so unprepared. I wish that you could hold me, Mom, as I lie here and die. I wish that I could say, I love you, Mom. So I love you, and goodbye.
George Nita wants you to remember, please, don't drink and drive. The life you save may be your own.
She's real fine, my 409. She's real fine, my 409, my 409.
Welcome back to Hawaiian Automotive 101 with George Nita. If you have a question for George, call the Hawaiian Automotive 101 hotline at 296-5467. If you'd like to email your question to George or just listen to the show live on your computer, log on to our website at georgenitta.com. And now, here's George!
Okay, we're back rolling again, and we're backed up with a lot of calls, so please make everything shorter so we can get
okay,
to everybody.
I will.
Okay? Who's next?
We have Rolling Bob. He's back.
Oh, Rolling Bob. Okay.
Oh, my goodness. First of all, it's a real honor to speak to you, Mr. Iona, or I guess you would prefer Duke.
Oh, thank you. Yeah.
And I know, George, let me just make a quick statement. I was watching Fox News the other day, and they were running down all the political parties, and they have Duke Iona as slated to be the upset in Hawaii to take over. But I want to tell people, don't sit back and think, oh, okay, he's going to win. Make sure you vote, and make sure you tell all your friends to vote. And that's, you know, the one thing we have to do is get everybody out there to vote. And that's how you influence it. Now, for my quick question. I know you talked about the Department of Ag and how you wouldn't have done things differently, or you would have done things differently. My question is, and I'll hang up and listen, is that now that you reflect back, what policy did you put in place that now when you look back on it, you might go, you know, we shouldn't have done it that way. We could have, you know, done things a little bit better. And on that, good luck, and I'll talk to you next week. Aloha.
Thank you. This all goes back again to this, you know, this economic fallout, Rolling Bob. And when that happened, there were some things that, again, the cuts that were made, I think that's something that I learned firsthand. And that is that, you know, a reduction in force has to be really the tool of last resort. I mean, that's one thing that I learned. And I think Governor learned that also. So if anything I learned in regards to what happened in 2007 and 2008 was just that. So that's the takeaway I got, that, in other words, RIFs have to be just, I mean, it's the last measure. And whether or not other things could have been done at that point in time, you know, I leave that to Governor Lingle and her discretion at that point. But I know for myself that wouldn't be done unless, like I said, it was absolutely necessary. So thanks for that question.
Okay. I'd like again to remind my callers to make everything short. We got the lines and lines of people here. And I have a small question for Wayne about auto racing.
Okay, George.
What's your idea of this auto racing?
I'm sorry. Well, you know, I was kind of falling asleep here because all the attention was going to Duke. And rightfully, you know, those are a lot of valid concerns, and I think there were some great questions. So I also want to thank the callers that are addressing these questions. But as far as what we're doing here, George, and I'll just give you a quick introductory. I am part of an organization called Ohana Gates, and Ohana Gates is basically platformed on some local racers, some business people, and a variety of sponsorships. And then we can kind of get into detail about that, but I'd rather save that for questions if people have, but I'll just give you a quick platform again on Ohana Gates. We are a movement, and we are trying to make a hard effort to bring back racing, in particular a road course or some sort of one-eighth or I think it's a quarter mile. And we've been very successful in putting the ideas and the plans together. And again, George, I wanna emphasize this to your listeners out there. We do have some experience, and we are small business owners. So collaboratively, we do come to a lot of good common goals when it comes to the subject. So the dynamics of all of that is we can discuss the issues, disagree, agree. And then we can come to terms which actually come to solutions. So with that said, you talked about a wall was the only place without a toilet. And that's a good analogy, and I do agree with you. But I want to say one thing to all the listeners out there that are race fans or race enthusiasts like myself. It's really a sad situation that Oahu does not have a racetrack. And I want to say this on behalf of what I believe is fair representation. There are a lot of good people in the racing community, and unfortunately, their voices either go unheard or they just get ignored
because they're not registered voters.
I was just going to bring that up, George, and that is part of the issue also.
Yeah.
But I agree with you on that, George. On the overall picture, and this would be a good time for me to tell you why we're interested in being part of this movement, is as Duke, you know, is mentioned, yeah, I mean, everything is economy-based, okay? So with that said, we want to put something together and give something back to our communities. That's it. Simple.
Okay. Thanks, mm-hmm. Wayne. Mm-hmm. Okay, who's next on the phone?
You have Mike from Eva Beach.
Hi, Mike.
With a question for Wayne.
Okay,
cool.
Hey, Mike, how are you doing?
Hey, Wayne. Hi, Duke. How's it going?
Good.
What's my and George, of course. Naturally, thank you for taking my call. I know Wayne, and I'm a big supporter of building a racetrack here on the island. What Wayne said is pretty much 100% truth. Pretty much, I'm just asking, man. I hear rumors. I've seen the pictures on Facebook. You know, how far along are you? I mean, is it something that we can see in the future? I mean, it's a positive thing, but I've seen the flyer. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Well, you know, Mike, that's a great question, and I'm glad you asked that because we do want to state the facts. We are an established organization, and we're in talks and discussions right now. I can tell you this much: we're a well grounded group. And we have the resources and the sponsorships as well as some financing to do something. But by no means do I want to mislead the listeners out there. We're not planning on building a Las Vegas Motor Speedway because that is just it's not something within our reach and it's unpractical. What we really want to do and the message we want to get across is we want to just get something started, just period. And that's just it. You know, like I said, we're going to do what we can within our means, you know, to get something started. So that's where we're at. I mean, we're still in discussion. And I'll leave you on this note, man. We're not really ready for this yet, but we will be coming out with more information for the public. And you can visit that website at www.ohanagates.com. And we'll have our communications people put it up, I want to say, within the next couple of weeks. And maybe we can convey more information.
Okay.
Wayne, I mean, thanks. We really do appreciate it.
Thanks for the call.
Thank you.
Okay, who's next?
We have Bill from Kailua.
Hi, Bill.
Yeah, I would just like to encourage the voters that being that this is a democratic state, that we need a change in the governorship. And I really believe that Duke is an honest person as politicians go, and I really believe that we need to give them a chance.
Thank you.
Appreciate that. Thank you. Mahalo.
Okay, who's next?
Don from Kaneohe.
Hi, Don.
Hey, good afternoon. Thank you for taking my call. Duke, I just have two questions for you. I grew up in the Winterside Castle High School. I graduated from there. I recently learned that they they stopped their carpentry and their automotive classes over there, got rid of it. How bad is that for our kids not to know how to, you know, change oil or read a ruler or how to cut wood and make something out of it?
Mm-hmm.
Another thing is, I'm a graduate of UH, University of Hawaii. I'd like to know how you're going to fix up the deficit with the UH and the red right now, you know, $31 million or whatever. It's very frustrating to see the university go that way.
Yeah.
That's my 2 points.
Okay. Well, first, well, let me start with that last point you made in regards to the deficit at UH. You know, I'm like you. I'm pretty I want to say disgusted, but I'm a little frustrated with the leadership at the University of Hawaii. And but here's the problem, that the way I look at it, the politicians get in the way far too much at the University of Hawaii, and so as such, leadership has not been able to root itself. And that starts with the Board of Regents and picking the right people at the Board of Regents and making sure that they pick the right leadership without politics being involved. Because what happens, let's just look at the last selection of the president. They came up with the names. They went through the whole process. Took, what, I don't know, 6-8 months. They came up with the names. People weren't satisfied with the names. So what happened? Well, they call up the governor. They call up the Senate president. They call up the House Speaker, and they complain. House Speaker, Senate President, Governor, get on the news, intervene, and make a whole to-do about it. I mean, that's basically taking away from the integrity of the process. And this is the reason why we can't get good leadership, because nobody wants to be a part of this. Because every time a decision is made, they're afraid that they're going to be, you know, called out on the carpet, put in front of a Senate investigation or investigative committee, et cetera, et cetera. 4 presidents in 10 years is not good for any university, and that's what we've had. So we got to get the politics out of it. So what I want to do, obviously, is to make sure that we have the right leadership at the Board of Regents level, to make sure we choose the right people who can lead and will lead and will, you know, give the university that opportunity to root. More importantly, we as the elected public servants should play our role in our University of Hawaii system, and that is to be supportive in regards to financing and committing to resources. Maybe we haven't done such a good job of that either, because we don't allow to work with the leadership there and allow the leadership to root, like I said. So I want to bring that focus to the governor's office so that they can be assured that I'm not going to always be, you know, basically second-guessing them and inserting myself into the process. But I will be supportive. I will question. I will make sure, hold them accountable to what they do. But for the most part, it's about being supportive and helping them with their resources. And that means not only financially, but getting out there and being the cheerleader for the University of Hawaii, which I will be.
Okay. Again, let's make our question short. I just got 3 complaints that they can't get through for the last half an hour. So
okay.
You can give us a call at 808-296-5467. Lines open. You got 1 line open, so rush for it. Oh, 2 lines open now. So, okay. Who's next?
We have Gina from Los Angeles with a question for Duke.
Los Angeles.
Oh, Los Angeles. Good morning.
Good morning. Duke, hello.
Hi.
I can call you Duke.
Absolutely.
You don't remember me, but I met you several years ago, and I was very impressed with your concern for the people in the Aina here in Hawaii. Actually, I still think I'm in Hawaii, but I'm here in California right now, still temporarily. But when you say you're concerned for the people, or I say that, it just reminds me of when I was in elementary school and we had to memorize the preamble to the Constitution of the United States of America. Do you remember that?
Yes.
Well, it's an unbelievable thing. It's an introduction to the greatest platform for the, you know, formation of our country here.
Mm-hmm.
And many people don't know this, but our first president, George Washington, was actually the most revered president or person in the world. He was the most feared because of the country that he represented and led. And I'd like to think of you that way. I've got a few questions for you.
Okay.
But I just wanted to repeat the preamble. It's only 2 lines for those on the line that have never heard it. It's something that's very important. May I just say that real quick?
Go right ahead.
It's actually 1 long sentence. We the people of the United States, in order to form a more perfect union,
establish justice, ensure domestic tranquility, provide for the common defense, promote the general welfare, and secure the blessings of liberty to ourselves and our posterity. Do ordain and establish this Constitution for the United States of America. Isn't that something?
Absolutely. That's what we were founded on.
Absolutely. Well,
kind of lost our way, yeah. Kind of lost our way.
Yeah. Well, I'd like to see it get back on track. But my two questions or two areas.
One question. Go ahead.
Okay. Well, you touched on the housing for the local people, so I won't go there. But illegal projects that are going on and paid for. And George can elaborate more on this to you, I'm sure, about the Kaka'ako projects that are going up that are illegal and are being built in a very unsafe manner without pile drivings. And it's just something that we need to really address. So what my question is, what, you know, they're being paid off. You know how that works. What can you do and what will you do to restore the faith in our state government? And how will you improve transparency and accountability totally and stem corruption?
That's what I'm running on. I'm running on trust and respect and balance. That's the theme of our campaign. And, you know, I like to say it's just my character and my background that will bring that to the people of Hawaii. You know, I heard that once. They said, How do I trust you? And I said, well, you know, I guess get to know me in regards to what I've done and where I've been. And, you know, my professional career is basically that of a state judge in which, you know, trust and respect was at the foundation of serving the people in the judiciary. So I hope that can serve as the foundation and the reason why you should have trust in me. So what you mentioned in regards to illegal construction and whatnot, obviously, you know, I can only do what I know, and if that's brought to my attention, then obviously something will be done. And so I've said this from the very beginning, you know, I want our government, and it needs to be, based on what you just read to in the preamble to the Constitution, it needs to be transparent because it's for the people and by the people. And so accordingly, that's what I'm going to bring to the government, which is transparency, and it starts with me.
Okay. Thanks for the call.
Okay, you have Mark from Aleva Heights.
Hi, Mark. Hello? What happened?
Hello?
Hi.
Yeah, transportation related question. LG, what's your plan for any kind of business incentives? Tesoro left. Nobody makes asphalt here anymore. Natural gas, LNG, or maybe even hydrogen fuel cells. You got any plans for that? And thanks a lot. I'll listen off the air.
As far as the asphalt, I don't know about that issue at all. So I really can't comment on that. But obviously, that's a product if we need. And you know, I'm hoping that we can fill the void somehow, some way. And if I can be of help, I'll be there. For LNG, that is, I guess, the bridge fuel that the HECO is looking at in regards to, I guess when I say bridge fuel, the firm fuel that they want to use until renewables can take hold and become that the base of our generation. And that's not going to be for a while unless we speed it up. So I know there's issues in regards to LNG, and this is why I'm excited to be elected, because these are some of the things that I can address as governor in working with the PUC as well as the utilities. We have an energy forum coming up on Tuesday in which some of these issues are going to be asked and addressed. And I got some thoughts on that. With LNG, you know, obviously it's about the transportation, the storing, and, of course, the transmission of it to, you know, to HECO. That's a big issue. It's a lot of money. And I think time's not on our side when it comes to that. And so, you know, but we want, I think what I'm going to express and make known at this forum is that the policy that I have is to bring the cost of energy down. Now, I know with LNG also, you can probably, you might be able to turn that into transportation fuel, you know, and maybe bring the cost down on that also. But that's another issue that we have to address too, is transportation fuel and how do we bring that cost down?
I'm glad you mentioned transportation fuel.
Yeah.
Because the cheapest transportation fuel is ethanol. Brazil has been on it since 1955 and is the cheapest renewable fuel. That's why they went to it. It's made from sugarcane, and the molasses spill that they had in the harbor is what we make ethanol from. It wasn't necessary. You can make ethanol from that and not waste it. And ethanol can be used in cars, in making electricity, all sorts of things. They use it in hospitals for disinfecting, for surgery, for women's face creams to take away the wrinkles, and vodka.
that I did not know.
That's what they use it for. It's so when you go to Zippy's or wherever, they have that hand sterilizer. Mm-hmm. That's ethanol.
I didn't know that. That I didn't know. So you see the byproduct, the products you can get out of ethanol, then I guess.
Yes.
There's a lot. So
excellent.
So George's push is to use ethanol for a transportation fuel.
That's what I use.
Yeah.
And my listeners know I've been using that for years.
Yeah, so. You were the proponent for that initially. Yeah, I remember that. That's true.
And it will make jobs for the people of Hawaii. Yeah. Over 1,000 per island.
So in closing, on regards to transportation and LNG, that's my position on that. And I look forward to pushing the needle, or I should say, I guess you could say pushing the needle in regards to renewables and PVs on rooftops and the connection with the HECO for those customers that are now contemplating or have it on their roof.
Mm-hmm. Okay. So... but, you know, I'm hoping, and I know you're going to get in. When you get in, I have a plan for you that will bring lots of money to the state.
Thank you, George. I look forward to talking to you, and I look forward to working with you in regards to all of these various issues that we have with the...
You see, Duke, I've been told so many times from not only people in Brazil, but from the Grand Prix racing, that Hawaii is a gemstone, and we're not using it.
Mm-hmm.
And we need to use it, so we got to sit down. I'm going to show you how we're going to use it, and it's going to bring in loads and loads of money.
And I know George wouldn't discuss anything or implement anything that wasn't illegal.
That's right.
Unethical or immoral. So, yeah, definitely look forward to
it. The perfect example is just look at Las Vegas. They never had any auto racing. They have it now. Because of the money.
Mm, that's true. That's true.
Las Vegas only does things for money.
It is, yeah. It's known for that. Yes, it is.
Yes, and I'd like to remind you guys, my listeners, that this show I pay for, so I invite who I think is the best candidate for governor. Because... you got to make a wise decision, folks, because we don't have much time. And we're going downhill so fast. Look at the homeless people. Okay? But I'd like to thank Duke Iona for coming on.
Thank you, George, for inviting me and giving me this opportunity.
And Wayne Roden.
Thank you, George. Appreciate it.
Okay? So remember, folks, take care of each other. Don't drink and drive. And we'll see you all next week, Saturday. Aloha.
Aloha.
All right.
The preceding program was paid for by George Nita.